Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you all so much for the many blessings you've already poured upon us. Now, once again, the awesome opportunity to get back into your word. Help us as we do that to understand it, apply it in the right way, draw close to you, build our faith and trust in you and in your word. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Memorial Day 2023. We celebrate Memorial Day in this country to commemorate and to remember and to honor our fallen soldiers, those that have given their lives, those that have devoted their lives to service of this country, to keep our freedoms, to keep the freedom that we have to be able to gather together and worship the Lord, to be able to come together and to openly profess our faith in the Lord. That's part of the reason that so many have gone to battle. And we also use Memorial Day to remember the fallen Christians in service to the Lord. We have many that are recorded in the Word of God that we could commemorate and honor and remember on this day as well as we should every day. But in John chapter 15, the Lord teaching us about the different types of love and love that can be expressed, that Jesus Christ expressed, as well as those that have given their life to service for the Lord. In John chapter 15, picking up verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." To lay down your life for your friends. There's situations and circumstances that have risen in the past, as the Lord has recorded for us in his word, as well as we can probably account in our personal lives of where people have given their lives for someone else, to save someone else, so that someone else could still live. And Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind, gave his life, acknowledging us as his friends that trust in what he has done for us. As he continues, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things have I heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." That's the root of all of it, to actually have enough love for someone else that you're willing to go face danger, face the threat of death for a friend. "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." To get into service for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to get in the army, you might say, of God, there is going to be persecutions. There is going to be hardships. The Lord taught us this over and over. As we recently spoke about the rewards that we have for being in service for the Lord, as we read over in Matthew chapter 5, once again, in verse 10, where it reads, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. were so persecuted, they, the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Letting our light shine. This world is getting so dark, so terribly dark, darker and darker. And when we allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine through us, because that's where the light comes from, it comes from the Lord, not from ourselves. When we let that light shine through into this dark world, it is very brilliant, very bright, and it can illuminate the pathway for people to come to Jesus Christ. The darker it gets, the more brilliant that light becomes. It's just like if you go into a very dark area and you have a candle, a single candle, go into a very dark area, it can illuminate a whole lot. You can see a lot more because of that one little light. And we have that light available to us, going into the dark areas and having quite an influence. When we have that saltiness in us, that means something that can make a change. It can influence something else. We need to be influential in this world. We need to have such an impact that everybody that we encounter knows there's something different about you. When we are truly serving the Lord, when we are truly in the battle, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Notice, your good works, the testimony that you're having, what you are presenting to the world, what they see. And they glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because they see you, they see your works, they know you're a Christian, then they can say, there must be something to this. I would like to have that kind of relationship as well. So then they can turn to the Lord as a result. So then you become part of the work of the Lord. And that's awesome that He gives us that opportunity to do such a thing, to be in the battle, to be out there fighting Satan every day. And as He said over in Matthew chapter 10, as He was sending the apostles out to spread the gospel, just as He has given us the Great Commission to go out, get in the battle, be a soldier for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Very dangerous when a sheep gets in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Notice, harmless as doves. Wise as serpents means cunning, crafty, knowing how to maneuver and behave, but harmless. You don't think of serpents as being harmless, but they are wily and cunning, but we need to be harmless. You've got to put that balance in there. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. He warned us in chapter 5 about the persecutions that have come upon us. Here again, He's emphasizing this directly to the apostles as He's sending them out. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. That's awesome to know that we merely need to be willing to be led by the Lord. We get out there, here I am, Lord, lead me, guide me, protect me, give me the words I need to speak, the opportunities right before me, and the boldness to step up and take those opportunities, open those doors, and encourage me to step through those doors, and then let Him do the work. Because as He's saying here, you don't even have to worry about what you're going to say when you're truly fired up, motivated, filled with the Holy Ghost, and listening to the Holy Ghost. He's going to let you know what to do and what to say at that moment. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. When we get ourselves out of the way and let the Lord come forward, He uses us to speak through us to the world. And a brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. This was happening then and is still happening today. We hear of accounts in other countries and possibly even accounts here of this betrayal of other family members. When someone becomes a Christian and then the rest of the family is anti-Christ and then they persecute that person in some areas overseas, if that happens, they get killed or horribly tortured and mistreated and cast out. And ye shall be hated of all men. That doesn't sound like very encouraging words to get into battle, to get into the family of God when you're going to be hated of all men. But notice why. It's for my name's sake. It's because you're a Christian. That's why they hate you. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. This endurance is keeping the faith. And we need to keep that faith all the way through so that we can be a part of the work of the Lord and receive those extra blessings and great rewards that he spoke of earlier. And in John chapter 16, reads, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." He's given us the warnings. He's given us the heads up that, hey, you're going to get out here into the battle and you're going to get beat up. You're going to be hated. You might even get killed. So don't be surprised. "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Those twisted individuals that have trusted in a fake God, a man-made, invented God, a God of Satan, will think they're doing a good deed when they kill a Christian. As I said, it's going on today. "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." They claim that they worship God. They say the term God. That they worship a God. Many such as, well, for instance, the Muslims. They worship Allah. Allah is the ancient moon god. So they worship a pagan god of the moon. But yet they try to claim that he is the supreme god. Well, he's not. He's the Antichrist. He is of Satan, pure and simple. People try to make a comparison to the three great religions, Judaism, Muslim, and Christianity, saying that they all worship the same god. Well, no, we don't all worship the same god. The only one that worships the true and living God is the Christians. The others are false. Acts chapter 7. We got quite a battle to get into out there. We got quite a challenge when we face these that are holding on to something that is no longer current as far as Judaism goes. Those that deny Jesus Christ, that are anti-Christ, are the ones that he was dealing with here. Now, the Jews are a protected people. They are blessed of the Lord. He is pouring his grace upon the Jews, even those that do not trust in him. But there will be great judgments come upon those that do not trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have been given opportunities to preach and teach to the Jews because that's a great opportunity to be able to do that. They have a foundation of the Old Testament that if they truly understood it, they would acknowledge Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the prophecies. Stephen, a young Christian devoted to spreading the gospel to the Jews, went out to do that very thing. But note what happened when they heard the message of the gospel. They did not want to believe it. They did not want to accept it. He was in the battle. He was on the front line there, spreading the gospel. And in Acts chapter 7, right after giving a wondrous sermon to the Jews, this is the reaction of those Jews. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, as Stephen now pointing out to them their attitude in rejecting his sermon, he calls them, in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels, and have not kept it." They were given the gospel. They were given the truth. They were given the prophecies and seeing them fulfilled, but yet they rejected it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They didn't want anybody to tell them that their faith was wrong, that it was misdirected. Nobody wants to hear that. If there's a Muslim and hears this message, they're going to be very offended at some of the things I said about the Muslims. If there's Jews out there that are anti-Christ, are going to be highly upset because I said that they're going to be judged for their failure to accept Jesus Christ. They're going to be upset at me for saying that. Well, it's not me that's saying it. It's the Word of God that's saying it. Because when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They started biting him, actually. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, notice, filled with the Holy Ghost, standing up right in that midst of that horrible persecution, filled with the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That was awesome that the Lord made that available to Stephen at that moment, to be able to see into that realm. He said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." They did not want to hear that one bit. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Stephen was calling upon God right in the midst of that horrible death that he was encountering. And what did he do? And saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Just as the example that Jesus Christ had given on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen, in like manner, saying, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Having that compassion, that true concern for someone else's soul. Right at the moment that individual is killing him, he's still caring for them. That was a perfect testimony. That was a perfect example of someone devoted to the Lord, right to the very point of being horribly killed while doing the service for the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Jesus Christ is the one that's going to judge us for our life, for what we have done and what we have not done. Not mankind. Even if they condemn us to death because of our faith, that doesn't count. The ultimate judge is Jesus Christ. The judgment that's going to last for eternity. Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? None of that is going to separate us from His love. Even though we're going through those horrible things, He still loves us. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That was going on back very early on in the church and continues to go on today. Sad to say, it's on the increase today. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. More than conquerors. When we look at our lives as being a vapor, as James describes it, here and gone, temporary, let's use what little time we have to bring honor and glory to the Lord in every opportunity that comes our way. And know that what we have looked forward to is everlasting, is eternal. And we don't have to get hung up on the temporary of today and the hardships. Verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No one can separate us from the Lord. Nothing and no one. No celestial being, no forces out there, no government, no horrible torture or persecution of any sort is going to separate us from the love of God. That's awesome to know that. When we become born again Christians, we become sealed by the power of the Holy Ghost. That seal is permanent. Even if we ourselves mess up and start to get back in our sinful ways, if we are truly a born again Christian, we are sealed, even if we become disobedient children. Now, the wrath of God will come upon a child of disobedience, as He clearly shows us in many places. Persecutions will come upon them. Things will be allowed to happen to them. The chastisement of the Lord Himself can come upon someone who is disobedient. Disease, afflictions, hardships, depression, poverty, all kinds of horrible things can come upon a Christian that is disobedient because they are disobedient. But don't be confused. A fully and truly devoted and obedient Christian can also have hardships, because we just talked about that. Look at what Stephen just went through. So just because someone is going through some hard times and you're looking at them and they're going through some hard times, you might be thinking in your mind, "Ooh, what kind of sin are they doing? Otherwise, that wouldn't be happening to them." If you do such a thing, then you become like Job's friends. They were criticizing him, saying, if you wasn't such a horrible sinner, this stuff wouldn't be happening to you. It didn't have anything to do with Job's sins. So we got to know that there are reasons for everything. Sometimes we can't comprehend it. We don't understand it. But sometimes it's pretty clearly understood, because we can see the immediate results of what we have done. When we take a hammer and beat ourselves in the head and then wonder why we have a headache, you might want to stop beating yourself in the head with a hammer. The same thing in our Christian walk. But sometimes you wake up with a headache and you got no idea why that's happening. And it wasn't because of your own doing. So what do we do? We've got to pray. We've got to ask for understanding. Why is this happening? Is this an opportunity for me to display my trust in the Lord, even through the hardships? As Paul spoke of, he had some hardships coming to him. A thorn in the side, he called it. Prayed about it multiple times. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient to you, that you are strengthened in your weakness. How can you be strengthened in your weakness? Because the strength comes from the Lord. When we are weak, when we acknowledge that we need His strength, not ours, to overcome such things, then we become experienced going through that, that we can then use those experiences to help others go through hardships. to help others realize you need to take a really close look. Examine yourselves, as the Lord teaches us in here. Is there something in your life, just like David wrote about in the Psalms, Lord, examine me. Is there something in my life I need to change so that I can have all those full blessings? And if there is, then you need to change that. If there isn't anything that you're doing, then you know that it's a different type of challenge and opportunity. It is one of these things that he's writing about here that might come upon us, but it's not going to separate us from the love of the Lord. When we're out there on the front lines, when we're in that battle, when we're doing the things that we really, truly need to do, we need to always understand that there's going to be challenges, there's going to be conflicts, there's going to be obstacles. But we need to, as Christians, be fully devoted to the Lord and want to get into that battle and serve the Lord. So therefore, we can step up and say, here I am, Lord, I'm volunteering for the service. Put your armor on me and put me in the battle. Just like in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice, his power, his might, not yours. Put on his armor, not your armor. When we're going through those hard times, when we're going through those challenges, when we're going through those afflictions, don't let them separate you from the love of the Lord. Know that there are reasons for all of that. Pray about finding out what those reasons we're going through those things are so that you can have a more blessed life and improved health and wealth and prosperity and peace of mind and joyfulness. Because finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, the devil likes to use those afflictions that come upon you as a weapon against you. Even if they are not a result of your misbehaving, the devil will try to use an affliction that comes upon you as a way to keep you down. Saying, oh, you are a bad Christian. You can't go out there and do that kind of work because you're a bad Christian because you're having this affliction. Therefore, you must be disobedient. Otherwise, you wouldn't be having this affliction. Therefore, you can't go out and testify and witness to the Lord or for the Lord because the shape that you're in. Well, no. It'll motivate you. Tell the devil to depart. Tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Kick him out. He can't hang around no more when you're a Christian unless you invite him to hang around. Don't let him beat you up because that's what he likes to do. Beat you up with your problems, with your concerns, with the persecutions, with the hardships that you go through to keep you out of the battle. Because that's his goal. To put you on the sideline. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This spiritual wickedness in high places, these are the indwelt people, indwelt with Satan, that are working for Satan, that has been given high positions of power and authority over top of other people to afflict people for Satan. There's a whole lot of that going on in the world today. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the righteousness of God, because this is his armor that he can put upon us. The truth that comes in the word of God and from the Holy Ghost. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the good news of peace. Peace that passeth all understanding that we can have when we truly trust in the Lord. Above all, taking the shield of faith, faith, true faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Everything that comes your way, if you have faith in the Lord, it'll be all them fiery darts will be quenched. That shield, they'll just deflect it. And take the helmet of salvation. That's what you really got to start with. Salvation, the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind. What head helmet protects that brain. When you have true salvation, the Lord gives you a new mind. And the sword of the Spirit, notice, our weapon. Now he's speaking of the weapon. You got your shield, you got your armor, you got your helmet all prepared. Now your weapon. What is your weapon? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The most powerful weapon, the Word of God. Nothing can withstand that. He's praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, that's very important that we pray for each other. When we see someone going through something, we pray for them. Even when we don't see them going through something, they might be going through something, so let's pray for them. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's praying for each other to have the boldness to go ahead and step up and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior every opportunity comes your way. We have quite a challenge ahead of us, quite a battle to get into. Let's get in there and be fully devoted to serve the Lord as one of the soldiers, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as he says over in 2 Timothy. So we can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We put on his armor and get in that battle and use the weapon of his word, the truth, to fight the devil. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for allowing us to be a part of your army, to allow us to be able to get in the battle, to do a work. We know that you are truly doing the hard work and that you allow us to be a part of it. We truly thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.